Well, we're going to continue today this series talking about spiritual gifts. We got a lot of ground to cover, so I'm going to try to keep it tight here for us. You know, we talked about how we all have some natural abilities, and most of us have learned some things along the way, so we have learned abilities and talents. And then there are spiritual gifts, and they have absolutely nothing to do with our learned abilities or our natural abilities or talents. And I'll give you the definition, my definition anyway, of what a spiritual gift is. And that is, these are gifts that come entirely and completely from God through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what no human being could ever do in the natural. We, our efforts, our talents, our gifts have absolutely nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We're simply the vessels through which these spiritual gifts flow. Characteristics of spiritual gifts are that they are short-term. They come to accomplish a purpose, and then they're gone for the time. They're gone until the next time the Lord wants to do something through us. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. That means they do things that no human being could do on their own. And I am thoroughly convinced that spiritual gifts, there are many mentioned in the Bible, and I am thoroughly convinced that God wants all of us to be available to move at any time in any gift He wants. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12, because we're in the place where we're talking about the nine gifts that Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 7 through 11, we talked about gifts of supplication. We talked about gifts of intercession. Give us enough time, we'll talk about gifts of visions and dreams. And there are lots of spiritual gifts. But these are nine that Paul mentions here. Last time we talked about two of the gifts. We talked about word of wisdom and word of knowledge. You know, when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're really saying, "Lord, we need spiritual gifts here to operate with us, because otherwise it's hard for us to enter into the joys of the kingdom." God wants us to come into the joy of healing and protection and prosperity and deliverance from evil. And that's what spiritual gifts are for, to do those things. When you come to the end of your ability and you need a miracle, that's when the Holy Spirit goes to work with a spiritual gift. Now, I'm teaching about spiritual gifts, and the method I'm using is to tell stories of times that the Lord has used me in a particular spiritual gift. And I'm doing that for a couple of reasons. One is, I want to make sure you understand that it's not about a gift or two that somebody might use. We can all be used by all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I'm using me as an example. And the other thing is, I know these stories, and I know that they're true, but I also want to tell these stories so you kind of know what to expect from spiritual gifts, so you understand what they are and what they're like and how they work, so it's easier then for you to operate in that. For sure, I'm not telling stories about when I operated in these gifts so that you can think I'm something special or to bring any glory to me. As a matter of fact, if you really understand spiritual gifts, you understand that by definition, that's not even possible. If a spiritual gift operated through me, I was nothing but the vessel. For sure, I didn't do anything except let God do whatever it was He was going to do. So I can't get any glory for it. I mean, just by definition. So we've talked about several gifts, and I want to kind of start from a funny place today. And I want to tell you a story, and then I'm going to ask you the question, which gift is it? Is it word of knowledge or word of wisdom, okay? As some of you know, I like to design and build and fly radio-controlled model airplanes. I've built several. A lot of them, they're fairly light, they're fairly small, they're usually made out of balsa wood, you know, that kind of thing. I have a place in the basement. There's a wall that has a door in it. And along that wall, I have several hooks, and I kind of hang these airplanes on that hook so that they're not in the floor. You know, my wife gets onto me for leaving them out when I'm not flying. So anyway, there's one airplane that its hook is right beside that door. And when I quit flying it and hung it up, I didn't really pay any attention, and I put the wing of that airplane over the edge of that door jamb. Now, that door stays open all the time, so I never even thought about it. And it was like that for probably 3 or 4 months. And one morning I'm in the basement and I'm walking from one room to the next, and I walk by that door and the Lord says, you need to move that airplane. And I looked up, oh, I guess I never noticed that it was there. So I moved it over in the hook so that in case somebody closed the door, it wouldn't crush that wing. About 20 minutes later, Debbie comes down, goes through that door into her office, and I'm on the phone making lots of noise. And so she closes that door so she can make a phone call. The thing sat there 4 months, just like that. Lord says move it. 20 minutes later, it needed to be moved. Okay, so which is that? Is that word of knowledge or word of wisdom? You know what? I'm not sure it makes any difference. Trick questions. The reason I tell you that is because I don't want us to get into the place where somehow we're trying to make a science out of which gift is it and the nuances and how does it work this way and that. We don't need to do that. We need to be free to be moved by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think, Robert, I kind of agree with you. I think it was a little bit of both, but which gift it is not nearly as important as our state of readiness, even in the middle of a work day. I work at home, and I was down there in my office, even in the middle of a work day, for something that seems as absolutely totally inconsequential as the wing of a model airplane. God cares and will move through us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit if we'll allow Him to. I have another question for you. And it's almost I wonder what we ought to call this gift. You know how it is when the Lord reveals something to you, the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, and in an instant, you just get so much information, so much clarity and perspective on something that it's like you could write a book on it. It's a gift of revelation or a gift of understanding or something like that. Remember, I was telling you last time this story of this girl we were praying for. She just didn't have any particular request. Oh, sure, just pray for me. And the Lord gave me that word, abandoned. And I told her that. And as soon as I told her that, her mind was flooded with emotions and revelation and knowledge and information, and she understood a whole story worth of what the Lord was saying with that one word, abandon. It meant something very grand to her. It pictures, realizations, all kinds of things in her mind from that one word. So I'm going to call that a gift of understanding or a gift of revelation. I think it's a spiritual gift when the Lord does that. But it's different from a lot of the other spiritual gifts. You know, a lot of the other spiritual gifts seem like most of the gifts are there for us to use for someone else's benefits. They operate through us going toward somebody else in general. Revelation is like just the opposite. That's a gift that just comes right down onto the inside of us. And so today, and really every time I teach, I pray that the Lord will loose that gift of revelation, that spirit of revelation, so that all of our ears and our eyes and hearts will be open to see things that we just never even thought of before, never even could have imagined without the Holy Spirit revealing them to us in this wonderful personal way. Okay, back to Paul's 9 gifts, okay? Verse 8 is a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Verse 9 talks about the gift of faith. This is a supernatural gifting to be able to believe God's promises. I'm going to tell you a story to illustrate gift of faith. And I was telling Paul, I feel a little like John Osteen. I've told this story before, but I like it and I want to hear it again. So I hope that it's not boring for y'all. Once upon a time, I got warts on my feet. A few warts here and there. They weren't painful. They weren't problematic for me. But when I got those warts, Debbie said, you know, warts are a curse. You read the Old Testament, you can see that warts are a curse. You need to pray that God will deliver you from those warts. That's a curse. Oh, okay. And, you know, she's right. That's right. I need to pray. Oh, Lord, heal my warts, and off I'd go, you know. Over a period of time, she would remind me about this. And, you know, we'd start to go to bed. Those warts gone yet? No, they're still there. You know, warts are a curse. Yes, dear, I know. Warts are a curse. You need to pray for those that the Lord will heal you. Okay, yes. I'll do that. I'd pray, Lord, heal my warts, and I'd go to sleep. Well, one night this happened, and Debbie said that. Said, you know, warts are a curse. You need to pray for them to be healed. And this gift of faith began to operate inside me, because all of a sudden, I knew that if I prayed for those warts, they would go away. Those warts are a curse and they don't belong on me, and I'm going to pray for them and God's going to heal me. Now, I expected God to heal me over a period of weeks or months, because sometimes that's the way those kind of things work. As God is my witness, when I woke up the next morning, there was not only no warts on my feet, there wasn't even any evidence of warts on my feet. I mean, it was like I had new baby skin where those warts were. I told Debbie, I said, I should have found them in the bed and put them in a jar and frozen them or something. The middle schoolers would have loved that, but everybody else thinks that's gross, you know. You understand what I'm talking about? The gift of faith is when you can't or don't or won't necessarily have faith for something, this gift comes along and all of a sudden you can believe. I mean, you just got the faith. And this has happened a lot of times when it comes time to pray for somebody. Sometimes I'll be ministering in a service and I know I'm going to pray for folks later, and the Lord will point somebody out. And it's like I can hardly wait to pray for them. I mean, I'm going to rush through my sermon because, boy, I want to get my hands on them, because I know that God is going to touch them when I pray for them. This happened not too long ago with a fellow that needed surgery. I mean, they were wanting to schedule surgery within the next week. He was in a lot of pain. And I prayed for him, and Lord healed him really instantly. And there's a corollary to that story. When we get to the gift of distinguishing of spirits or discerning of spirits, I'll tell you the rest of that story, okay? But that was a situation where I knew when I prayed for him, I knew that he would be healed, and he was. I wish that would operate through me and all of us all the time, but it doesn't. We're not in control of these. These are gifts from and through the Holy Spirit, and they're not my gift, you know? Okay, next gift. What's the next one? Gifts of healings. This is where the Holy Spirit heals people that you pray for, that you lay hands on, or just the gift of healing can just fall in a service. I've seen that happen. Now, some have said that this gift that Paul is talking about is the gifting of doctors. This is the doctor's ability to heal and to bring health to people. And No, that's not what this is. This is a gift from the Holy Spirit to really heal people. You know, most of the time, doctors aren't even sure what's wrong with you. Betty, you've been through this 100 times recently. They don't even know what's wrong with you, much less be able to heal you. They might be able to help with some of the symptoms, usually. But about all they can do is help your body heal itself, in general. I'm not saying bad things about doctors. I got 2 brothers that are doctors. They do wonderful work. Doctors do wonderful things. I think that God wants people well so much that he is working as hard as people can hear to see medical advancements and doctors and things like that so that people can be helped. But this is a spiritual gift where God heals. Matter of fact, it's kind of one of the special gifts, I think, for me. I really enjoy operating in this gift. And when Debbie and I go places to minister, we just expect God's going to work through us, through this gift, and heal people. But what's funny is sometimes when we take a group of people with us, you know, like, okay, we want to help you learn to minister, so you come with us and give you some experience in praying for people. And so we'll go, and I'll be praying for some lady that's got a tummy ache, and she thinks maybe the Lord healed that, while the other folks that we brought with us are over there praying for the lady that's got crippling arthritis, and all of a sudden the Lord heals her instantly, and she's jumping up and down and running around, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! And they get the good stuff, you know, they get the big stuff, and it's almost like the Lord is saying, don't worry about it, you don't have to do that. Let's let them see what it's like to really see God moving through them and moving at their hand. I think it's kind of neat in a way. Why do you think, by the way, that it talks about healings? Yeah, it's healings, but one spirit. You know, it would be real easy to try to say, well, if somebody has this, you pray for them this way, and if they have that, you pray for them this other way. My experience is it doesn't work like that. My experience is that every healing is different, and you just have to hear the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it takes you by surprise. Debbie and I had gone up to Raleigh not too long ago to minister. I taught in the service, and then we got to pray for folks. I mean, we must have spent an hour and a half praying for folks, all kinds of needs and deliverance. And I mean, God was really moving, and things were cool. And we started gathering up our stuff, and they were meeting in a place where you had to, it was kind of church in a box. You know, you had to bring a box, set your everything up, and then when it was done, you had to put it all up and leave. And so we were putting it all up and putting our recording stuff up and leaving. And we get downstairs, and we've carried most of the stuff out to the car. And one of the ladies says, you know, I have diabetes. I'd like for y'all to pray for me too. Okay. She's about, I don't know, 45. She's not overweight. So it's one of those systemic kind of things, you know. We said, sure, we'll pray for you. We just took, I don't know, a minute or two and prayed for her and said, okay, we believe the Lord's healed you. And we finished loading stuff in the car and left. And about a week later, we get the report. Man, she is absolutely, completely set free from diabetes. She's not taking any insulin shots, no medicine, nothing. Lord healed. But you never know how that's going to work. Sometimes these gifts will work together. You know, I was talking about which gift is it of what a goal. Well, sometimes they're working where it's obviously two gifts together. The other morning we were at a church service and we were just in the congregation. And Debbie's hands started getting really warm. And she said, well, I know what that means. That means if I can lay my hands on somebody, they're going to get well. I hope that the pastor leading this service is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the Lord wants to heal people. And about that time, the pastor says, you know what? Somebody here has a real anointing to heal. And Debbie says, that's me. And so it's a small group, not much bigger than this. And they say, well, who needs prayer? And this woman raises her hand as much as she can. Her shoulder has been hurt. And Debbie goes over and lays hands on her, anoints her, prays for her, and the woman's healed right then. Well, there was a gift of healing in operation, but in order for that to work, that pastor had to have a word of knowledge, see, to know, hey, there's somebody here that needs healing. Paul was telling me coming up here about some things he thinks that people need prayer for, that the Lord wants him to pray for today. I had a dream this morning. And it had given me something to pray for. These words of knowledge, we'll share those with you when it comes time to pray. And then we'll find out who that is and how we can pray for folks. When the Lord gives you a preview like that, that's a pretty good indication the Lord's ready to do something, you know. And that's going to be exciting to see what the Lord does. So when the Holy Spirit operates through us and heals somebody, that's the gift of healing. The spiritual gift, but you know what? We don't heal anyone. We just show up when and where God tells us to. We do and say what he tells us to do. And then when he's able, he works his mercy and his love. Mm-hmm. He directs that towards someone and he heals them. But we're just the ones that allow that to happen. We're the conductors, so to speak. You know, sometimes folks are healed instantly and sometimes they're healed over a period of time. But when the gift is operating, people will be healed, or they'll be the process will start at the very least. Okay, what's the next gift in the list here? Working of effecting of miracles, working of miracles. What's a miracle? It's a supernatural occurrence of some kind, right?
Something God can do that we can't do.
Something only God can do that we can't do. There you go. Great definition. Debbie mentioned a miracle of multiplication. I'm going to tell you two stories that I think are about the most unbelievable you could ever hear about this. And so then we can sort of go from there. But since they happened to me, I can tell you that they're true, okay? Once upon a time, I had designed a special kind of computer equipment. And I had some special parts made, and then I would assemble these computers, sell them to folks, assemble them, and then deliver them and install them. And I had 10 computers that this company wanted. I was working out of our garage at the time. And so I'm out there in the garage assembling these 10 computers, and I get down to one of the custom-made parts. I have a bag of these little custom-made parts. I open up the bag, pour the parts out. I've only got 6 of these parts. and I'm supposed to deliver 10 computers tomorrow. Oh, man. Well, about this time, Debbie comes running in from the house. She'd been watching a Shambach show on TV. And she said, let me tell you about what happened with Shambach. I said, some lady comes up to him and says, I want to go to a Kenneth Copeland meeting. And I don't have enough money for bus fare. And all I got is, you know, what, $50. And so I put that $50 in this paper bag. And I want to give it to you. And I want you to put it on your person somewhere while you preach. And God will multiply that money. And sure enough, God did. And this lady had enough money to go see Kenneth Copeland. And so she's telling me about that. And I said, well, that's probably a good time to know about that, because these six parts, if I have to order more of them, I got to order 20 or 30 at a time. It takes 2 weeks to have them done. There's just, you know, I'm stuck. And she said, let's just pray that they'll be multiplied. No, honey, you don't understand. I need to deliver these computers tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, let's pray over it. She said, just put them all back in the bag. And so I take the paper sack, put them all back in the paper sack, close it up. And Debbie and I lay hands on this paper sack and pray over it. And I open the bag up and pour the parts out, and there are 8 parts. And I figure, well, I just miscounted the first time, okay? And she says, no, put them back in the bag. Put them back in the bag, and we're going to pray for them again. And we put them back in the bag and pray for them, and then there were 9 parts. And we did that one more time, and there were 10 parts in that bag. I'm telling you. See, that's the problem of telling stories when your wife is in the congregation. She can tell whether or not you're telling the truth, see? There was another time that we were doing a wedding, and they invited folks from all over the country. They thought about 100 people would show up for the reception. And the reception was being done by just the folks in the church and the folks that knew the wedding party and stuff. It wasn't a formal reception. So it's just kind of folks were bringing stuff, local folks were bringing stuff. 400 people showed up for this wedding. And so folks start going through the line, getting their food at the reception. And I mean, immediately it becomes real clear, we don't have anywhere near enough food for this group, right? And so I guess Debbie was in the kitchen. Debbie says, let's just pray that God will multiply the food. Now, we've been with the Prestridges in Mexico before and seen this happen before. It's not like we've never seen this. And so all the ladies say, okay, well, let's pray over the food. And they pray over the food. And they continue to dish out food and put it out, and people keep getting it and eating it. And I'm telling you, honest to goodness, when it was all over with and everybody had eaten, we had as much food left over as we did when the women started praying. God just multiplied that food. I could also tell you about the time that God fixed the air conditioner in our car, or the transmission in another car that we prayed for, or the tank of gas that went up, kept getting more gas in it the farther we drove. Or the 45-minute trip that only took 20 minutes. Or the time that an angel showed up when we were in a foreign country and didn't speak their language, an angel showed up to tell us where a guy was that we needed to meet. Had no idea how to get to him. I can tell you about the time that a passport was instantly transported from Amsterdam to a lady's backpack in Kenya. I could tell you about the time that a drill bit, I don't know where this dental drill bit was transported from, but it was transported to Mexico. I could probably go on all day long telling you stories about the gift of working of miracles. I didn't do any of these miracles, but I benefited from every one of them. And I got to watch with joy as the Holy Spirit operated in this gift of working of miracles. And you too can operate in these gifts, all of them. Healing, miracles, knowledge, wisdom. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be clergy. You don't have to be some kind of special person. The Holy Spirit wants to operate through every one of us with every one of these gifts. And He probably wants to do that way much more than we even can imagine or think. If we will allow Him to, the Holy Spirit will do all kinds of miracles.
That's right.
We'll just let Him. We'll just give Him half a chance. You know, cut Him loose, man. Let him do something, you know. Okay, what's the next one? Prophecy. Gift of prophecy. Now, I'm going to define prophecy as a person speaking on behalf of God to another person or to another group of people. Usually, prophecies include facts, knowledge, wisdom. But that's not really the same as the gift of word of knowledge or word of wisdom. It's more like God is speaking into a situation, and he's doing more than just providing information. I mean, it's personal. It's direct from God to you or to a group. Not too long ago, a fella asked us to pray for him because he was looking for a job, hadn't been able to find a job. And so as I was praying for him, this gift of prophecy began to operate. I told him that he would have a job. It was coming within a week, and he would have two choices, and there was some information in that prophecy about which job of the two he should take. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, we hear, yes, I got that job. It was exactly like you said. Well, it really wasn't me saying it, of course, because I didn't have any idea what his situation was. And if you're looking for work, I can pray for you, but I can't promise you that you'll get that prophecy, okay? We don't know. It's all up to the Holy Spirit. There was a woman in Scotland last time we were up there. There was a lady there, and she needed a house. We prayed for her to get a house, and the Lord even described in the prophecy that said, you're going to get a house, and described some details of the house. And sure enough, it wasn't long. She had exactly that house. One last story, and we'll come back. I'll tell some more stories about prophecy when we get back on this next time. A lady called, was supposed to go into the hospital the next week. The doctor wanted her to come in that next day so they could start prepping for some surgery. As a matter of fact, it was for a hysterectomy. So she called and asked us to pray. And as we prayed, the Lord told her through this gift of prophecy, don't let the doctor do a hysterectomy. Now, sometimes it's appropriate. You know, you never know. Linda had hip replacement surgery. We were praying for the Lord to just heal her hip. And finally, the Lord said, no, she needs to go through hip replacement surgery. She says, okay, I'll do whatever. With this lady, Lord said, don't let the doctor do that because the Lord's healing you. Well, sure enough, within a week, she was almost pain-free. Within 3 or 4 months, she was completely healed, and now she's pregnant. She's about to have a baby, see, which is what they wanted. They wanted to have a baby. Well, that was a gift of prophecy that was able to speak into that exact situation, exactly what she needed at exactly that time. That's what that gift is. That's how it works. Okay, well, I guess I better just quit for now. I don't want to go too long. And we'll pick this up again next time, and we'll talk about a little more about prophecy. We'll talk about distinguishing of spirits and how to deal with evil spirits. We'll spend a lot of time on that. Hopefully we'll get into dreams and visions and all kinds of things eventually here. There's lots of spiritual gifts, and the Lord wants us to know about them and move in all of them. The Lord bless you.